Just explain why it's abstract is because ever since the printing press, there's been a quite complicated movement between communication. And most people's communication up to about 1900 was something people told them. They have face-to-face communication. But it becomes increasingly more abstract throughout modernity. So you have local synchronous. It really means space and time. Are you there talking one-to-one, like in this lecture theatre, or by the telephone, where it's at the same time, but you're in different places? And this begins, like an email, it could be a different time and in two different places, okay? And leave a note on the desk. You're not there, I leave the note. So there are all these processes of communications, creates transformations. And these are much stronger to people who experience these transformations. People who grow up with this take it for normal, for a natural process. But you have this quite complicated process of time and space, and I don't need to go into that too much, but just to give you an idea that this abstraction that people felt was when new information could be conveyed from around the world almost instantaneously or much more fast than they ever expected before. Just one thing I want to say here too about face-to-face communication. I'll use another German example, Georg Simmel. Simmel, S-I-M-M-E-L, had this idea that what happened, one of the key transformations in the 20th century is the breakdown of face-to-face communication meant that prior to modernity, when people meet face-to-face, they had to have certain ways of addressing one another. And as soon as you open your mouth, you have certain ways of telling you where your voice, where you're from, who you're addressing, you have different ways. Simmel was saying that in modernity, people have to sit face-to-face in mass transportation and not say anything to one another. And this is the first time in human history this occurs. So you can meet someone, sit in the bus or on a train, look at them, don't say anything. A whole new different way of experience. Okay? Now, someone who experiences this is completely changed, but for us it's almost natural. So the abstract becomes a natural phenomena. And these are some of the things that I want to explain then with modernism. How do you respond to this sort of culture? What does art do traditionally? Art may represent a stable world, a world of beauty, of timelessness, universal values. How do you respond then if you have a culture that says that everything will change and be different? This is a central issue of modernism. The key ideas of people who really are famous in modern art are the people who say you have to embrace this change. Not always, actually, but one of the... You can embrace it or you critique it. And you'll find that most this is the dialectic, if you like, of modern art. It's a both engagement or a critique or with modern life. The other thing about modernist art is there's an emphasis on cross-disciplinarity. There's much more focus on art, music, dance, theatre, literature, experimentations across these art forms. And there's also a formal experimentation. And one of the key formal experimentation means the artwork explores its own processes. So language, if you're a writer, how visual art visually depict the world, for instance. And it's not surprising that these ideas of abstraction begin to become important not only in social life, technology, but also in modern art. But I want to focus on some key scenes of modernity. The railway station, see, pictured by Claude Monet in France. It's one of the key scenes in the late 19th century that was portrayed over and over again by the Impressionists. This place of both technology, the steam engine, the first wave of industrialization, but also this idea of going somewhere, being transported, going somewhere to a new place. These arrival halls are quite interesting, this idea of arrivals and departures. Maybe the arrival of a new life and the departure of another life, a traditional life. A key figure then is a poet, not so much a writer, who influenced the whole idea of how to transform art to respond to modernity was Baudelaire. Baudelaire developed this idea of what's called the flâneur, the stroller, the person who just wanders in, goes out in the streets of Shanghai and does not feel either at home or not, but just flows with the sensations, who moves into and is mindful of the new life and what's happening and what's happening at the moment. This is the ideas of the flâneur. You're walking the streets, but you're somewhat distant. You're an observer at the same time. You're seeing what's happening, what's different, what's changing. You feed on this energy, but there's certain separateness away, like my voice just then, away from us. So to be part of the crowd, to be its observer. But the key idea, the definition he had of modern life, was to be away from home and yet to feel away, to feel at home everywhere. To be away from home and yet to feel at home everywhere. It was this idea of an extraterritorial or a cosmopolitan life. Cosmopolitans may feel more at home in Shanghai and Berlin than they do feel at home in a village in their own country, for instance. There's this idea of completely different sort of way of not naturally anywhere. So the idea is this person who roams through the streets, as portrayed here by Degas, floating through the streets, the promenade, the idea. These places like Place de la Concorde, new avenues, the boulevards I mentioned, they're all products of modernity, even the streets. The wide open boulevard is this sort of development of what we call Paris today. There's also this formal experimentation, this idea of the subject, the idea of subjectivity, one's own subjectivity is important, how one responds to situations. The classic example, of course, is Van Gogh, a very romantic sort of figure for art because of this idea of suffering, I guess, but you can see the intense formal experimentation that's going on there at the same time, the movement of brush strokes, not to be natural but to be expressive, to convey a mood. And someone who's a lot more a cool artist is Manet with an A, and it's tricky, the French, they keep using similar names to confuse us, but Manet. And Manet is actually portrayed here. I need a stick. But see this man here? There, it's Manet. So the figure in the crowd who's, these are sort of events, the Tuileries, it's a scene of leisure. So it's very much an urban, cosmopolitan life, this idea of a leisure time, a specific time that's not working. Very different to when you work on a farm where there's cycles of time. There may be festivals, there may be religious festivals, harvest festivals, particular designated parts of the calendar. But this is just a time when new social possibilities are being explored. And it's very much of one particular class who can afford this, particularly in the 19th century. So modernism has been, in these explanations, this French or Baudelairean idea is a culture very much of its time. Hence the term Zeitgeist that they use a lot in a German word, literally means spirit of the times. How do you capture that Zeitgeist? That Zeitgeist will change. It'll be, you know, the Zeitgeist of 2009 will be different to, you know, 2019. So it emphasizes not a strong link with the past, but a different type of time conception. Time itself changes. You get a division of time, measurement of performance. Sport is the best example of that. Who runs 100 meters the fastest? You measure it. It can be clearly worked out. And that creates this emphasis on linear progression. But I think that is a bit... It's a perception, I think. But a strong division between productive time and leisure time. And with leisure comes emphasis on consumption and new aspects of experience, as I mentioned before, the weekend. But there's also this idea of striving to be timeless, to be evade petrol modernity. There's this idea of a Peter Pan effect. It becomes one of the quandaries of life. It's like, if you see Mick Jagger, who's always trying to look 21, you know, it's that sort of thing. It's impossible to do. So everyone wants to escape being redundant or obsolete. But then, so some of these examples are like throwing yourself into the crowd. The idea of this one by Monet is you see the crowd. How do you imagine the crowd? How do you perceive it? Well, it's actually a phenomena or experience. It's almost abstract. You can't portray it. This is a different sense of experience. It's something that is not still. It's something that doesn't have any one moment. It is a flow of people through time and space. And that's what he's trying to capture here. So that impressionist style is very much helps to convey that impression. Impression that's one moment here, but then gone through the day. And the viewing point is quite different too. It's interesting to see if up the viewer is elevated. He actually paints it from an apartment high up from the crowd, so that you have that sense of both the immersion of a crowd, but being distant. This sort of very much Baudelaire idea. The flaneur sees modernity, but it's not, takes one step back to see what is really happening. Another thing that Manet, and this is both the social aspect and the formal aspect come together in a work like this, because Manet portrays here very subtly the differences of social expectations and what's possible. The flaneur in 19th century France can only be male because women were not allowed to go unescorted in public in France in the 19th century. So where you met women unescorted were behind a bar or in these new social scenes. And you can see the woman here is portrayed looking very bored, looking at her next customer at the bar. And what he does then is he changes the mirror. It's like he contorts it so the woman is looking, the woman looks straight ahead, but then he changes the scene so the mirror doesn't look directly. The mirror shows you the scene where you see the man, the customer, who is not here but over there. This is not realistic, but he bends it around so that you can see the scene. And what he's trying to represent are these social situations and this sort of slightly contorted thing of who looks at who and at what time. So it's both an aspect of a new social moment of modernity portrayed, but he bends the usual expectation of what you see to portray this situation. Another aspect, which I've already mentioned too, with this simile, the idea of City of Strangers. This work that I just showed is very much about this sort of portrayal of meeting someone you don't know. And as Simmel said, you need new behaviours, new techniques required to deal with social transformations. So he developed this idea of the disconnected eye, the look, which is very close to Baudelaire. Baudelaire has the idea that you walk through the boulevard, you have this sort of disconnected eye, I just see, I see, I move. And Simmel is very much about this social situation where people meet all the time, but you can't say hello to everybody. Imagine in Shanghai, you in one day, you go down, you meet everybody, you say, hello, hello, who are you? Oh, thank you. Everybody on the bus, you know, everybody on the train, hello, hello, hello. If you see someone do this, you think they need their medication. You know, they're not well today, they're sick or something, okay? So he says that it needs new social techniques for how to deal with these situations. So this idea, it's represented here in an example of a realist artist, a very famous realist artist in France of this time, who tries to portray this, you know, metallic gridded bridge, this new emblem of modernity, and this sort of idea of the social processes, this connectedness in the street, which is one way of depicting it. And then you have modernists who sort of say, well, nothing is fixed. We need different ways to represent this reality. And this is like Signac as a portrayal of a magician. But this idea behind is an idea that the French developed in the 19th century, the idea that the experience is not fixed, it's a kaleidoscope, a kaleidoscopic. And this term comes from these toys where you look in the tube and you see all these colours move around inside. So someone who develops this a little bit further is Delaunay, and he takes one idea, usually the city or the Eiffel Tower in Paris, and begins to explore this city as a sort of abstract entity, so it begins to become patterns and sensations. Nothing is fixed, but you explore it as this sort of new ensemble that is not solid. In fact, it takes off Marx's idea that all the solid melts into air, this sort of idea that American writer Marshall Berman used as one of the key ideas of the experience of modernity. So formal experimentation was seen to be one way to better represent modernity. People weren't abstract for no reason. There was about how to convey this modernity. One person who gives an explanation of this formal explanation of modernity is the American critic Clement Greenberg. See a portrait here, a very around with the canvas for the back of a painting. His explanation then is that how you explain modernism is that you look at not the social events but the formal, how the styles change. And Manet here is a key artist, because you see in this image you have a very realistic portrayal, very almost traditional, solid, a little bit schematic, but solid portrayal of a figure. But the figure floats on this background that is like a pure flat canvas, like almost like he's representing the canvas as something that's flat. And you have a figure on an almost flat background. The background gets abstracted and flattened, so it's no longer realistic. Greenberg's argument is that what happens, all the arts, whether it's literature or music or visual arts, in modernity or modernist arts, they explore what they do best themselves. So his argument is very much not interdisciplinary or cross-disciplinary, it's about each art, what it does. So visual arts is actually a three-dimensional representation on a flat two-dimensional background. And this becomes the key argument for him, what happens artists flatten this representational approach. And how Manet does this, he no longer builds up everything, he leaves these brush strokes very raw, so you see how it's constructed. And this idea is a key aspect. You represent something, you tell a story, for instance, but you show how it's constructed. And this idea is a key aspect of modern painting. The painting will be about painting as much as painting something else. This slide's not very good, unfortunately, but when you see it up close, it looks really, really abstract, because Manet doesn't smooth everything and make the brushstrokes disappear. He accentuates the brushstrokes, so you see raw paint. You see how the brush works, etc. And that becomes more and more clear. The emphasis in, say, with Kandinsky is then to really push up the colour. The emphasis on this sort of colour, you still see it's a countryside going up over a little hill, enough information there, but really what he wants you to focus on is the interplay of colour and pattern. Kandinsky's big influence here was, he had a few different, but music was one of them, but he also thought that if we could, if painting could become more abstract, if all the arts could become more abstract, you wouldn't need language, you wouldn't need, you'd have a sort of universal type of art where everyone responds just to colours and and visual art would then be like music. You just see the colours and the patterns. So he began to abstract more and more. As he abstracted, the titles take on a musical term, like improvisation. No longer said, you know, person walking in the countryside on a sunny day. That's enough. Becomes composition one, improvisation, rhythm two.